Please now give your attention to Brother Terry Walkerick from the Norwood Congregation, Edmonton, as he develops the last talk in this symposium, Lessons from Jesus' Word Pictures, Build Your House on the Rock.
Let's go back for a moment to the Sermon on the Mount. At this point, Christ presents another word picture, and it's worthy of note because it serves as a conclusion to his sermon or his teaching. And it encourages the taking of a very important, very crucial step. He motivates his listeners to act on what they've heard. Now, with this word picture, a discreet man is contrasted with a foolish man. Let's read and let's see how Christ sets up this contrast. I invite you, take your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 7, and we could look at verse 24. That's Matthew chapter 7, starting with verse 24. And we read Christ's words, where he says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does them will be like a discreet man who built his house on the rock. And the rain poured down, and the floods came, and the winds blew and lashed against that house. But it did not cave in, for it had been founded on the rock. Furthermore, everyone hearing these sayings of mine and not doing them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain poured down, and the floods came, and the winds blew and struck against the house. And it caved in, and its collapse was great." So we notice that a discreet man builds his house on the rock. And despite the rain, the floods, and the winds, the house stands. In contrast, the foolish man, he builds his house on the sand. And with the rain, floods, and winds, his house caves in and collapses. Now, what do you think made the difference? Why such contrasting results? Well, by understanding the significance of this concluding illustration, we can be helped to continue to be firm followers of Christ, no matter what tests of faith we may encounter. We've all observed that a natural disaster will test the strength of a house and also its foundation. And this fact is borne out by the following video that is presented. In this video, we see severe storm damage in which one house stands, whereas the neighboring house is destroyed. Let's watch this video. Now, in Christ's word picture, as well as portrayed in the video, the house can be likened to our own spirituality. Now, that being the case, which of these homes would you want to represent your spirituality? Spirituality that is steadfast and firm under whatever trial that comes. We know that aside from caring for their own spirituality, parents are naturally involved with their children's spiritual growth. So, parents, Make sure you're building on the right foundation. Have you studied the Bible Teach book and the God's Love books with each of your children? And if you have, can you say that they understand the principles behind the truths taught? We know that the Bible Teach book gives students the basic knowledge of the scriptures. However, the God's Love book goes further. It teaches how to apply principles in day-to-day situations, in daily life. And the desire to apply these principles requires reinforcing, requires assurances of Jehovah's as well as your support. Now, again, in Jesus' word picture, is the difference as to outcomes just a matter of finding the right location? No. Jesus' word picture is referring to not a location, but a firm foundation. Both homes were buffeted by winds and floods, and the homes were not said to be built a great distance apart. To help us appreciate that, let's look at a parallel account, the one that's recorded by Luke. Take your Bibles again, and let's turn to Luke chapter 6. We could look at verse 47. That's Luke chapter 6, verse 47. And as we read this, let's see if we can compare it to the previous account that we read in the book of Matthew. That's Luke 6, starting with verse 47. And it reads, "Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man who in building a house dug and went down deep and laid a foundation on the rock. Consequently, when a flood came, the river dashed against that house, but was not strong enough to shake it, for it was well built. On the other hand, whoever hears and does nothing is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The river dashed against it, and immediately it collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great." Now, as we read this, did you notice some additional information not found in the book of Matthew? A key detail. Take a look at verse 48. Do you see what this detail is? The man dug and went down deep to lay a foundation on the rock. This required much effort on his part. Similarly, in caring for our spirituality or the spirituality of our families, how do we dig deep? We know that the discreet man in the illustration could not employ mechanical excavating equipment as we do today. The deep digging was accomplished by hand, so time and diligence were involved. So dig deep by putting forth the effort to apply and act on Christ's teachings. We know that before the visible work of building a house, there is the underlying work of securing the foundation. And for a moment, consider what the home foundation preparation involves as we know it locally. The process starts with the soil top layers removed so that the firm load-bearing material is located and identified. This, naturally, takes time and effort. And then what follows is the actual forming of the concrete foundations. They are reinforced with steel, which has been meticulously hand-tied in pre-designed grid patterns. Again, time and attention was required. Similarly, it takes effort to build our spirituality. It takes effort to build Christ-like qualities. It takes study. It takes meditation. There are no shortcuts. So enjoy the benefit of spending time meditating in what you read, what you study, so that you can apply it in your daily life. There is a difference between knowledge and understanding and wisdom. To illustrate, you are standing in the middle of the road. A bus is coming. First, you recognize it as a bus. That is knowledge. Next, you realize if you remain standing in the road, you will be hit by the bus. That is understanding. So you jump out of the way of the bus, and that is wisdom. No wonder the Bible emphasizes cultivating this practical form of wisdom. It means our very life. Again, what good results of building your house on a rock? Well, if you still have your Bibles open to Luke 6, you'll see that, and that's verse 48. If you look at verse 48, that the house is described as being well built. So the flood, or the fast-flowing river, did not even, as the verse says, shake it. So by building our spirituality on a sound base, this results in a firm, steadfast quality. Then we can weather the various storms in life. What storms may they be? We have personal or family setbacks. We have the tests that come about in school or at the workplace. Advancing age and health problems can test us. And then there's our own personal human imperfections. Not to be forgotten is one big storm that is approaching quickly. And Christ warns us of this storm. Again, let's look at Matthew, and we can go to verse 24. Matthew chapter 24, and specifically verse 21, we read of Christ's warning. And he says this in verse 21, that's Matthew 24, 21, "For then there will be a great tribulation." How great will it be? Well, he continues, "such as not occurred since the world's beginning until now, no, nor will occur again." So this storm is unparalleled in human history. Each one of us then has to ask himself, will my house, will my spirituality stand? Let's at this point speak to an elder who has worked hard and values the building of his spirituality on a sound base. We've invited Brother Lane Roby to speak to us. Brother Roby, you were baptized at the age 17, and this after a progressive study and associating with a congregation. Now, did the difference between knowing the truth and fully applying it become evident?
Well, definitely. I knew I had to mature spiritually. One principle that really helped me is having good association. So I gradually changed from having friends in the world to friends in the truth. And that was good because it helped me to focus on spiritual things and the field of ministry.
Were there any other principles that you had to employ?
Well, taking in solid spiritual food was certainly important for me. I knew I had to dig deeper into the publications. And so as I did, my knowledge began to grow. And then I seen areas where I needed to make some changes.
Now, with your decision to marry, your personal circumstances changed. Did you see new areas in your life where you had to apply the Bible principles?
Well, in line with 1 Timothy 5:8, my wife's responsibility, spirituality, was a new responsibility for me. So immediately we worked on a routine of family worship. We would study the Watchtower together. We enjoyed reading the new publications, and later on we incorporated daily Bible reading together as well. We also thought of Jesus' words and keep seeking first the kingdom. So materially, we kept our lives simple. As a result, we were able to pioneer for 20 years together. And so we felt that that kept our marriage strong.
Now, more recently, you are seeing the joys of family life. You have an 8-year-old son and a 4-year-old daughter. What has become your main concern?
Well, the main concern really is to set a good example, trying to set a good example for them. We want them to see that we love Jehovah and that we dearly love our brothers. We do have a family worship night regularly every week, but we also have spiritual discussions with them pretty well every day.
So please comment on the results.
The results is the truth is it's always on their minds. The children have spoken to many kids about the truth. For example, Caden, he was able to start a Bible study with one of his classmates, and now his mother is studying the Bible too. So that brings us a lot of joy.
Thank you very much for your excellent comments and expressions. Thanks. So what a blessing to consider these word pictures. We benefited by firstly being helped to grasp the meaning of the word pictures. And then we benefited by understanding just why Christ gave the illustrations. And lastly, we benefit by seeing how we can use the information to help ourselves as well as others. So let's review the lessons. Review question one. What lesson can we learn by observing intently the birds and the lilies? The answer: by discerning Jehovah's tender care of the birds and the flowers, we can be absolutely confident that He will take care of His worshipers on earth. Again, by discerning Jehovah's tender care of the birds and flowers, we can be absolutely confident that He will take care of His worshipers on earth. Review question two. What does it mean to have salt in yourselves? The answer: it means to be considerate, tactful, wholesome, peaceable in word and conduct, acting in good taste to one another. We'll repeat that. It means to be considerate, tactful, wholesome, and peaceable in word and conduct, acting in good taste toward one another. The last question: how do you build your house on a rock? The answer: by digging deep to lay a foundation, namely by applying what you read in God's Word. Again, by digging deep to lay a foundation, namely by applying what you read in God's Word. So, how much we have learned in this symposium just considering three of Christ Jesus' word pictures. May we all continue to learn and further imitate Jesus, our great teacher.
Well, we want to thank all of you and those who had a share in those very helpful parts.